We have already heard a very sad word, but if we submit to it, we will be glad. In every admonition, as the apostle who wrote the letters to the Hebrews also wrote, an admonition or chastening first makes us sad. It hurts, but afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. There is more to the word we have already heard than we see and perceive on the surface. Wherever the Lord does something, the enemy is not far away. And that is precisely where we must be on our guard, each and every one of us. Because the enemy grabs this one and that one, me and you, and so it goes round and round. And when he is done with everyone, he starts all over again. But if we know that, then we ignore it as far as possible and try to serve the Lord and not make the same mistakes again. Blessed is the man who understands what it means to recognize his own mistakes and not make them again. This does not always involve very big things. Sometimes you have to say things if they would be heard somewhere by the people you might have in mind, because then you would cause even greater damage than the damage you are about to mention. Someone owes the other person money, and a third person says, "You won't get the money back from him forever." And without thinking anything of it, this second person then goes back to the first and says, "Just imagine, the sister said this and that. And that wasn't meant badly at all. I know all the people involved. The distress wasn't in the first statement. It was thoughtless. The trouble was that the person to whom it was confided or said, so to speak, went back to the other person and said, 'Just imagine, someone said this and that.' And already, not only smoke came out of the chimney, but also fire, because there was a lot of wind and it came out at the top. If we realized that every time we really only discuss what we need to discuss with each other, and the rest finished with the person or persons concerned, then we could save ourselves a lot of grief. But I have to learn to hold my tongue myself, because that's the real problem. Not the teaching, but today, of course, I read something in the sermon of Brother Branham, which we are currently translating, that struck me. And this now also applies to the brothers who minister here. Brother Branham says that the church will always be like its shepherd. Of course, I thought, dear Savior, if my tongue could stand firm like my teeth and my nose, then I wouldn't move it at all. Then I would hold it for eternity, because I know how much trouble it causes. And I said, now all? What is this now? If there is trouble, then I'm still to blame for it. because all those who come to the service go roughly in the direction of the one standing in the front. Brothers, Brother Russ, Brother Schmidt, that hit me very hard. And when we then have to take the responsibility for the gaps and the mistakes and the hardships, even though we do our best to bring the word. And Brother Branham explains, if the preacher is loud, the congregation is loud. If the preacher shakes his head when he sings, they all shake and so on. And he wants to say, sometimes people have not received the Spirit of God, but the Spirit that is standing in front. Yes, and may this not happen to us. We want the Spirit of God or no Spirit at all, right? But sometimes these are sayings that can really knock you down, and then you really examine yourself to the core. Believe me, I don't just translate the sermons. I have to take them to heart, and you really have to examine yourself in everything. But the word that we have heard so admonishingly here is aimed at getting along well with God and with each other. And that is sometimes not so easy. With the Lord, it is still possible to a certain extent, but here it comes. Our relationship with each other reflects our relationship with the Lord. What we do to one another, we do to the Lord, who has taken dwelling in us. Our attitude towards one another is basically our attitude towards our Lord. Yes, what then? If we perceive it from this point of view, and not only that, but take it very seriously and say, Lord, if my attitude towards my brother and sister, my behavior, my way of thinking, and everything that goes with it, if it actually concerns you, where and how do I stand in your presence? And I tell you, it would help us very quickly if we could get this under control a little. Because then God would have us under His control. Just imagine if all those who give free rein to their tongues and thoughts, according to the principle, the thoughts are free. That's what we used to sing when we were young. And they give free rein to everything, but do not read that man will have to give account for every idle word. It is so serious, and you all know, a brother who once stood here in the front preached it to all of us and said, God has not only circumcised my heart, but also my tongue. But that's easier said than done. You can say it with a full mouth and deceive your own heart. And it's not like that. So, the Lord wants us all to be reasonable and at least treat each other the way unbelievers treat each other. Whether you believe it or not, the unbelievers have much more decency compared to the believers. One wouldn't run over the other like that. They have a certain behavior. Believers are sometimes in so much trouble because we don't follow the general rules of life. And if God helps us to do this, then we are also helped in that we simply leave the earthly in the earthly realm. Look, it is sometimes the case that everyone, no matter what situation they are in, already has enough to do with their situation. When others make it even more difficult instead of helping, how can it go on then? Right? So we must aim to serve one another, to be helpful, to walk with God. And above all, we must not let anything rise up in our hearts against anyone, no matter what it may be. And even, let us say it, even it concerns singing and playing, my God, isn't there wisdom up in heaven that can be given to us on earth, so that we can use reason without being offended? The Lord says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But I'll tell you something tonight. After all, we are among ourselves, and here I can say it. Our trouble is that we always recognize where the other person is lacking and not where we ourselves are lacking. That is the trouble. And the Bible actually says quite clearly in James, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If you lack money, then you know exactly what you need, and you say, please, can you help me? If you lack, you realize it. The wallet in the pocket becomes light, and you know straight away, the lack is here. You ask, and you receive. But where do you feel when you lack wisdom? With a wallet, it's easy. You feel it's getting light up here, and heavy in the heart. But how do you feel where wisdom is lacking? I ask you tonight, Brother Rus, Brother Schmidt, Brother Gajdacz, you brothers, how can we recognize when we lack wisdom? I hadn't thought about this myself before. I came here without knowing anything at all. But it just comes to me now. How do you determine, how do I determine that I lack wisdom? Everyone always thinks they are right, but there isn't as much right as we claim. When do we realize that we, that I, lack the wisdom to even ask God for it? I gave you an example earlier. That was a direct lack of wisdom. If someone makes a comment, that is already the first lack, because he has entrusted himself to a person. But if you then go and say it to another person, and he then gets upset, that is totally unwise. How often have we caused great harm with a comment simply because we lacked the wisdom to see the consequences of saying or doing this or that? So, I and all of us lack wisdom. I don't think we lack teaching. I don't think we lack the preaching of the word. I don't think we lack everything that God has prepared for us. But sometimes we lack wisdom because we can't appreciate, can't overlook what things bring and cause in the negative sense of saying anything. If we could say to the Lord from today, my God, give me wisdom, wisdom for my own self-assessment, wisdom and grace to esteem my brother more highly than myself, wisdom to accept everything that is done for your name's honor, to rejoice in it, to go along with it inwardly. I don't need to make a secret of it. I can rejoice in everything. When the trumpets play, my heart is glad. When the instruments play, it is good for my soul. Do the singers sing? Thank God for every song. And has there been a song that has not been a blessing to us when we have sat here and listened with the peace of God in our hearts? It also depends on our own attitude, not always just the lyrics, but the way it is. And the same goes for the playing of instruments. You have to say that once. And I think we should encourage the few talented people who sing, play, whatever it is. Encouraging doesn't lift anyone to heaven. The Lord has to do that anyway. But look, our brothers, and whoever we may be, whether we preach the word here, be honest, are we preachers? If you would hear trained people here, yes, then you could be proud that such people go forward, who know exactly how to build up a sermon and how to end it. They just might not know what God is saying. But we are not people who can have a say anywhere. It may be the same with singing and playing, but we are all better at that. And so we should have the grace to really accept everything. Recently, I say this now at the risk of realizing who it was. When the last visitor from Poland was here, our brother Kupka, he visited here for the first time. And during the first conversation he had with me, he was completely horrified and said, imagine, I met a brother and he immediately made comments about the ministering brethren in the church. And I was glad I was sitting. And he said, imagine, I'm here for the first time. I don't know the brother or the ministering brethren. And in the first conversation, right away, remarks, beloved, I'm saying this even while our visitor from the GDR is here and whoever might be here. If we don't have the grace to stand by each other and by God, then I don't know how we can move forward together. Instead of saying something to a brother or people who come to visit that is a blessing to them, and even if we were right, and here I'm referring to this scripture that we have just read, Did David have the right to eat these showbreads, which was only for the priests? What happened to him? He was fleeing from Saul. And Ahimelech, the priest, said to him when he came, "I am hungry." So he said to him, "Ordinary bread I have not in my house." Nice. The man is hungry. And the host, the high priest, says, "Ordinary bread I have not in my house." Yes, but my stomach is rumbling. I only have consecrated bread. David must have been pleased. Then I'm not eating ordinary bread today. Today I'm eating consecrated bread. Is that all right? The Lord says it was fine. Yes. The scribes, if they had been there, would have done the same as with the disciples and with the cornfield and with the ears of corn. Only criticism. What did Brother Branham say? Criticism destroys the most flourishing church. We really need to realize that our words either build up or destroy, one or the other, nothing else. Either we gather or we scatter. Either we pull together, but please at the same end. A rope also has two ends. Many people say, "We are pulling the same rope," and if you look properly, they pull on both ends. Yes, we don't need that. If we are pulling the same rope, then please do it at the same end. Yes? And not at the two ends. Then what's the point of the same rope? Then there's just a back and forth. Beloved, there's so much to say. God's ways are sometimes strange. And where we discover mistakes and can criticize, the Lord comes and wipes it all off the table and says, "Have you not read when David was hungry that he went into the house of God and ate the showbread that he should not have eaten? And you don't read that God was angry with him." Do you know who God was angry with? Not those who got into trouble here or there and perhaps did things that were a bit out of line. God wasn't angry with them at all. But he was angry with the critics whom he didn't deal with at all. Beloved, we no longer have any time to waste, but we have to let ourselves be told that the love of God, which was revealed on Calvary, must be revealed in us and through us all. Sometimes you also meet people who do not get everything completely and fully revealed from the Word of God. Beloved, what saves us? Not a doctrine, but faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave His blood and life on the cross of Calvary. And Paul, this great man of God, writes, "If anyone disagrees about anything, God shall reveal even this unto him." The church of the Lord must become a place of security, a place where everyone feels at home. But the church, as we have said often enough, is not the building nor the chairs, but we who sit on them. The house of God is a living house. It is made of living stones and is built up unto a holy habitation of God in the Spirit. For what purpose? to offer spiritual sacrifices that are pleasing to God. How can we offer spiritual sacrifices if we are human, earthly, carnally minded, and still judge everything by our standard? No, we can forget all that. And then we might still feel the way David did. He didn't just eat the consecrated bread. Shall I tell you what he found there in the house of God? The sword of Goliath. He asked the priest, "Don't you have a spear or a sword?" And then he says proudly, "Listen, I have here the sword of Goliath, whom you slew." And then he says, "Give it to me." And then he took it and went on his way. So his visit had been worthwhile. He ate a hearty meal of consecrated bread and took the sword that God had given him and which had been consecrated to cut off the head of the enemy, this Philistine. Do you see the ways of God? And what would have happened to the critics? They have no place in the house of God. They have no place in the church. They don't even have room on the open road when it goes through a cornfield. When the Lord goes with his disciples, let him mediate and judge. When something needs to be mediated and judged, is it true? Who else is responsible? Who wants to declare me or you responsible for judging certain things? And sometimes it's so easy to point the finger like this. And if you don't have all the connections to this scripture and the enlightenment of the Spirit, then you can even take the letter, strike and kill. And that doesn't help anyone either. No, we now also have the days of Pentecost ahead of us and the meetings. As we have sometimes said, it is close to our hearts that God comes into his own. And it must be possible in the house of God for everyone to feel at ease, for no one to sigh, for no one to miss out, but for everyone to be truly blessed and then be a blessing to others. I believe that this is the meaning of the word that was read here this evening, that the Lord has taken responsibility for all those who follow him. And then no one is authorized to criticize or judge, let alone condemn. But as it is written, only one is lawgiver and judge. And the one has basically said everything that needs to be said, and we stand before him. The Sabbath was a holy day, and the scribes made it so holy that they criticized the Lord, who is the Lord of the Sabbath, as Jehovah he made the Sabbath and declared it to be holy. And there he was standing as the Lord Jesus, for there is only one Lord. The Bible says, one Lord. And I say that quite deliberately tonight. When the Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, then we can also say that. And if this one Lord was Jehovah in the Old Testament and Jesus in the New, then that's fine by me. And who gave the field of wheat? Who said, there shall be seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night? Did the scribes? Not by a long shot. The Lord who spoke all this was now there in human form. And he spoke to them. Jesus answered them, Have ye not read what David did when he was hungry, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. He concluded with the words, The Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. He is Lord over all things, but also over the Sabbath. And so they stopped, had their answer, but they were certainly not helped. Beloved, only people who truly follow the Lord do not take offense. Whether it's about the Sabbath, whether it's about the cornfield, whether it's about healing, or whatever it may be, they don't take offense. They know that the Lord does everything well. He has never made a mistake. They accept everything. They rejoice in everything. They are simply gifted by God to become a blessing for others. I have to think about it sometimes. We all sing this one song, maybe not so often now, but in our early years. Must I go with empty hands? Must I stand before Jesus like this? Can't I bring him one soul? And you all know the chorus. There it says, If once more, then we would consecrate our lives to the Lord. We are all here. We are not on our deathbed, but we don't know when we'll be on it. And then there is the question, if I would come back once more, and if I had the time, then I would consecrate it to the Lord. Now we have to consecrate our time to the Lord. And that begins with a complete dedication. Really, that we can say, My God, here is our life. Whether we are talking to believers or unbelievers, nothing must ever arise from us that brings sorrow. It must always be the peace of God that rules our hearts. What others do with it, well, we cannot determine that. We cannot say anything about it. But we want to be available to the Lord as brothers and sisters. And the Bible says, Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of divine wisdom, which we should ask for, so that everything may go well. But who has the fear of God in these days? Who has respect? Someone said to me recently, Brother Frank, it's scary to see that there is no respect for the ministry at all. And I can only say that I personally, and I also don't believe that our brothers here demand any respect. But I will tell you this, when God's word is fulfilled, it is in the true believers. And the word of God says, the elders are counted worthy of double honor. So, what everyone else says should not concern us today. God's word is binding for all who belong to God. And those who belong to the church will put into practice what has been given and imposed on the church. Each of us should be grateful for the ministry of the word in this place. And when our brother Paul said at that time, Everything is piecemeal. Our knowledge and whatsoever things may be, who are we then? And yet, we can be thankful and say that God's word, even if it was brought in weakness, is strong and powerful in those who have received it in faith. After all, we do not look at the earthly tabernacle, but we listen to God's word with all our heart and have a good attitude towards those who have to bring the word of God. It is bad when strangers or critics get involved. Believers, especially those who belong to the church, should support everything with all their heart and soul. If there is something to criticize, we want to talk about it, but then really in such a way that God gets His due, so that it connects. I have yet to see or hear anything that comes from God that could divide people, that would set them against each other. Everything that comes from God is embedded in His divine love. And what is embedded in it, I recently told someone who confided in me and said, I didn't think you could ever love me again. And I said, my brother, if the love of God that I carry in my heart is truly in me, then it is eternal. It never began and will therefore never end. It is absolutely not dependent on circumstances. And the tears ran down his face. He had truly let his tongue run wild. What does that bother me? The love of God in my heart, I say again, never started. How can it stop? My Bible says, in 1 Corinthians 13, love never ends. So, we must realize that all those whom God has loved and redeemed through Christ are there to put God's love back into action as the redeemed. This divine love contains everything we need. Forgiveness, understanding, that we put up with each other, not just with a heart full of pain, but with a true heart and with full conviction. After so many years, shouldn't we be asking God for a beautiful new beginning for us all? That the things that sometimes take us by surprise, that we are unexpectedly run over by, that we simply say, Lord, why should I deal with it and dwell on it? We want to move forward. Sometimes we get run over if we are not vigilant. But that's not the worst thing. The thing only gets bad when it goes from mouth to mouth and spreads and draws ever wider circles. And in the end, it's not just you and me who have been run over. In the end, the tanks roll over everything and destroy everything. For what? Have we done something clumsy? Take it to the Lord. Finished. Who benefits from talking about it? I don't know if there were still thoughts that were good. So we have a very serious hour today. Even if I'm not crying or making a sad face here in the front, yet I'm still deeply saddened in my heart, but also full of faith and confidence, deeply saddened that we, who should already be further along in our life of faith, sometimes get hung up on small things, and then they become so big before our eyes, and in the end, we can no longer ignore or overlook them, and only then do they become a problem. May God really give us grace. Firstly, that our brothers who serve here with the word feel comfortable, and you don't need to name them in every prayer. You can pray for everyone in general, but also for all of us. The important thing is that we have a heartfelt bond with each other and with God, and that we are in the love of God. Then every sermon is good. Every song is good. Every play is good. The disagreement is not in the sermon, not in the singing, not in the playing. It can be in us. And that is where it must be remedied. Beloved, it is not so easy to be a blessed child of God. But we can say one thing. If the Lord blesses us abundantly, then we will be able to be a blessing for one another. For that is the divine promise. I will bless you, and thou shalt be a blessing. When God can bless us in such a way that we are a blessing to others, only then has it truly become evident that God has blessed us. If this is not yet the case, then we must let ourselves be told, God doesn't bless us for ourselves, so that we can be a blessing to ourselves. I haven't heard that yet. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. God wants us to serve one another with a gift, not ourselves. Every ministry is there to serve others, to reach out, to bind up wounds, to do good wherever it is possible. God wants to make such people out of us. And for this, we need a mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit, an outpouring of power from on high, the power of God that works in us what we are unable to do. After all, we fall by the wayside for years and have this and that to regret. But through the power of God, everything will change. Everything will be new. And the Lord will be able to reveal Himself. He needs an atmosphere in which He feels comfortable. And I tell you, if we as brothers can really serve the Lord without our own burdens and without what may trouble us, then I have no doubt, but say it freely, that all things are possible. Faith in God, faith in every word and promise He has given is in our hearts. God is true and faithful. He stands by His word. The old liar must give way. God's word is our testimony, and that is the truth. Therefore, the Lord can confirm it at any time. And we must expect more and more that He will confirm it by grace. We sang it together earlier in the song about healing. But believe me, it hurts a little there too. It's painful when, on the one hand, you believe what God's word says with all your heart, and on the other hand, you have to see and experience how all these things don't come true, but that we stand timidly by. Then it hurts us too. So, we will trust the Lord with everything that is in us. To be of good will, to do everything in our power to preserve unity in the Spirit. Not to violate the commandment of divine love, but to become a blessing to one another according to the measure in which God has blessed us. That one day, whether you say or think, see or hear, these are the blessed of the Lord. That we would feel as back then, when Isaac blessed Jacob, that he could say, whom God has blessed, is blessed. And may God truly give us all this by grace. Don't you all long for a short time before the return of the Lord, in which everyone is happy about everyone else, in which everyone is truly in an intimate bond with everyone? I long for that. It has to be like that. Everything else applies to the unbelievers, to those who have not accepted the Word of God for this time. Everything may come down with apostasy and disobedience and everything what may be there. In the house of God, the word applies to the church, and the word of the divine promise is, I will restore all things, restoring all things. And the time had to come when all piecemeal work would cease and perfection could break through. After the perfect revelation of the Word of God, the perfect revelation of the power of God must come to us all by grace. The Lord is faithful. Don't be discouraged. Be of good cheer. As long as the Lord still speaks to us, He means well with us. None of us is without fault, but each of us is sinless through the sacrifice that was made on the cross of Calvary. Brother Branham says in one place, you cannot be saved and lost at the same time. Either you are saved or you are not. And we believe that we have been saved by grace through the blood of the Lamb. And we look to the Lord, our Savior, and ask Him to be gracious to us and to bless us from the riches of His grace. Let us consecrate ourselves to the Lord and say, O God, take away all criticism. Take away everything that causes discord and brings a curse. Everything that is destructive, take it away from us. Close my mouth. That's how the believers prayed with the fear of God. If I should say something that would bring a curse to others, if only all this could soon be with us and with all those who want to stand their ground before God, I believe we would already thank the Lord. We can do it in faith because He is faithful. He knows our hearts. He knows our desires. And we want Him to come to His right with all of us by grace. And we believe that it will happen. Amen. Let us stand up and thank the Lord. Thank you for your lesson that you have given us tonight. You have taught us to follow you as disciples, to look to you, not to walk behind as observers, to judge what they are doing, be it on the Sabbath or in the cornfield or here or there, but to leave everything left and right to follow you, to look at your blessed hands, what you do, at your mouth, what you say, into your eyes, with which you guide us, through your Spirit, to read what you want us to do, as the handmaid looks at her mistress. O Lord, you have taught us that we are a people of kings and priests, first far from you, excluded from the covenant and from all blessings, and now brought near. We may be in your house, belong to your church. Beloved Lord, make it great for us that where you prepare bread for us, the place is consecrated, the bread is consecrated, the people are consecrated, and that there we find the sword with which the enemy was defeated. O God, how marvelous are your thoughts, how glorious your word. And we thank you that you have placed it anew upon the lampstand, not so that we can only remember it, but so that we can use it and defeat the enemy anew, who has already been defeated and who wants to cause havoc again and again. Beloved Lord, we long to see your right hand exalted and to experience that it upholds the victory. Hallelujah. Thanks, praise, glory and honor be to you. Give me grace, give me wisdom in dealing with my brothers. Beloved Lord, I ask it with all my heart. May they feel at ease in my presence. May my words be a blessing to them. And if you give grace, my behavior and my actions, Lord, may it finally be revealed, and this in reality, that you have taken dwelling in us. Praise, honor, and glory be to you. Amen.